Because of that, many people take for granted the privilege for God to be drawing you. The privilege for God to be inviting us. It's not because we are qualified, but because of His mercy, because of His grace. Father, we thank you. Tonight, we are going to continue in our teaching series, Power to go up higher. The power of intimacy is a very great power. Intimacy, for those of us who were here last week, I mentioned that it has to do with oneness. That intimacy is a dimension of friendship that is not casual. When friends enter into themselves, In terms of knowing one another's secrets, that's intimacy. When they know one another in a way that no other person can understand their closeness, that is intimacy. And the beauty of intimacy is that when such dimension of relationship takes place, there are benefits that cannot be experienced in casual friendship. So tonight, our focus is quite simple. The Lord will be dealing with us on developing intimacy with Him. Developing intimacy with God. Developing your intimacy with God. And before we go to some dimensions that has to do with some of the things, like formula that we think can make us accomplish this. I want to begin by making us to know that intimacy cannot be achieved first of all by a formula. Intimacy can only be achieved and accomplished by a chemistry. By a dimension of connection. There are things that makes the connection possible. But without the connection, you can't accomplish intimacy with God. There are many believers today who don't know how to be close to God. And one of the things that don't really make us to know how to be close to God is the injury, the damage that Adam has done to us. And many of us carry the dimension of what Adam did without pressing into what Jesus has done. So as long as we continue to be conscious of what Adam did, in Adam, there was a separation between us and God. In Adam, you don't desire to draw close to God. Your desire is to run away from him. So when you are a kind of a person who finds the presence of God boring, who sees being close to God, enjoying the presence of God as something that is unattainable, you are in Adam. And you are going to realize that this is a deliverance for many of us on its own. A deliverance that you can enjoy every other thing. You can enjoy talking with people when you slot a film inside. You can watch the film for 3 hours. You can finish that 3 hours, slot another one, and watch the movie for the next 3 hours. You can enjoy some hobbies for hours, talking for hours, playing for hours. But when it comes to the presence of God, it looks very boring. Something in you cannot connect. When you come there, you come there officially, formally, to say certain prayers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or you come with some prayer point, and you just pray on those prayer points. You just realize that there is no deep connection. You have not spent a time like a friend spend a time with another friend and he doesn't want to go. Are you together with me? How many of us come to the presence of a friend with a list of what you want to tell the friend? Hey, Mommy Dominion, you just come and say, I want to visit my friend. You now write points and say, these are the points of what I want to tell my friend, Pastor Yinka. You don't do that. You only do that when you probably want to have something like official meeting with your friend. Maybe you are into business. You want to have an official meeting. Oh, so that we know this is the agenda. This is the point. So when you are in the presence of your friend, you are so free. You come freely. It is your friend that will even be saying to you, time has gone. You don't know that the time has gone. You know, a time when we get to with God that you don't even know time has gone, that you are in his presence. You feel like remaining with him. Nothing is bored. Nothing is boring. You are not even feeling as if you have spent so much time. That is when our intimacy with God begins. Moses spent such days, 40 days and 40 nights for Moses on the mountain was nothing. If you want to really learn what intimacy is all about, let's ask Jacob. The Bible says he served for 7 years. It was just like a night. For Jacob, when the father said again, you will go. Now, what you, when he was serving for Leah, and now he was now giving the one he was not looking for. But because of the one he loved, because of the one he so much loved, you know, when you are in the presence of the one you love, time becomes inconsequential. You don't tell your the one you love and say, you have wasted my time. Don't you see how much time I have put for you? You see our lives today. That even when we come to church, we look at time and say, Lord, I have some other things to do. Lord, when will you release me? It is because you are in Adam. When you come out of Adam, in Adam, there is no connection. I'm laying a foundation why we struggle. This is the weakness of many Christians. We struggle in our intimacy to enter into intimacy with God because of this basic thing I'm already talking about. We cannot connect. There are people you can't connect with. When you are with such people, all that you want to just say what you want to say. Your mind is not even there with them when they are saying all that they want to say. So the first thing, which is quite important, when we know we are going to press understanding intimacy, it has to do with connection. There must be a connection between us. There must be a bonding. Without this kind of bonding, you will limit your relationship with God to an official relationship. There can never be intimacy. But all we are crying about tonight is that there will be intimacy. Because the things that are meant for us, that are meant for us in God, can only come for the intimate. Can only come to the intimate. There are certain things that you cannot enter into in God, and they are not just going to be because you don't know Him. They are going to be because you have not stepped in into intimacy with Him. So, anyone without an intimacy with God, we miss a lot in Him. I don't want you to be distracted. Thank you, Father. So, tonight, we are going to be looking at something very vital. Developing your intimacy with God. And I want to take you very quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis, chapter 2. And I want us to look at it with our heart open to the Lord tonight. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, a man, will leave his father and his mother. Are you there? And be joined to his wife. A translation says, and we cleave to his wife. And they will become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Developing your intimacy with God Number one, it begins with what you can leave behind for God. It begins with what you can leave behind for God. Every intimacy requires a price. You cannot develop intimacy with somebody when you are fully engaged with another. That's why when you see the scripture, and I'd like you to please follow with your heart, you realize that one of the most terrible sins, all sins are terrible, but you realize that there are certain ones that are so terrible to a point that when the Bible says, when a man commit fornication, he said he sins against his own body. So you realize that right from the scripture, God has always been crying about a dimension of sin, which I want to mention as adultery. Adultery. Or idolatry. So when you look at this, whether adultery, whether idolatry, you realize that it has to do with somebody who is trying to create a relationship with somebody and then having another relationship that he claims to have with another. Sharing allegiance. When you look at idolatry, it has to do with when you say something has become an idol. What becomes an idol is what has captivated your heart. What has taken hold on your heart. And that thing has also taken not just your heart, but your submission. You cannot resist that thing. You cannot say no to that thing. You so much put honor for that thing. So adultery and idolatry, you realize that these two things, they are things that compete mostly with intimacy. When a woman has been given to a husband, and that woman is found with another man that is doing what the husband alone ought to do, it is called adultery. Right in the Old Testament, they are meant to stone such a woman. Such a woman is not meant to live. And you realize that in the New Testament, there was a time they came to Jesus
And they said to him, this woman was caught in adultery. And the Lord of Moses, this is what he says. He says, we should stone, we should do that. And you know, if not because Jesus was on the way to go and pave way for real intimacy, that was the why he solved the problem of that woman by mercy. So God hates adultery. Because adultery has to do with a shared commitment. God does not want those who will share commitment that they have with him for another thing. Are you please getting that? God does not see somebody who claims that I am together with you. I am one with you. And that person is sharing the love, the commitment with another. That's why you see God keeps saying he's a jealous God. God is a jealous God. God look at Israel. Look at how he sees Israel. He was looking at Israel not just as his own son, but as his wife. He loved Israel so much that God was not going to share his intimacy. He will not want Israel to go and commit adultery. When this nation, when they join themselves with other nations, you realize that God becomes so angry. So why is it that intimacy is not possible when there is adultery? And you know, in our generation now, we commit spiritual adultery from time to time. But tonight, the Lord will deliver us. Why is it that you cannot attain intimacy with adultery? Why is it that you cannot attain intimacy with idolatry? Why is it that it is not possible? It is not possible because when you are in intimacy, it shows that you have left. You have left what ought to be left behind in order to be able to develop a close relationship with the one you are going to be intimate with. That's why it is not possible for God to be able to use anyone without first calling you into a step of leaving something behind. Please, are you together with me? You can't journey with God into a dimension that God will be able to trust you, that God will be able to commit himself to you. Because intimacy, these are the things that we see, which I mentioned to you last week, that God will be able to share certain secret, that God will say, you can see me all. That God will say, whatever that has to do with me belong to you. We are now in one another. You cannot attain that. The first thing God is going to do is to ask you, what have you left behind? The cost of intimacy is that you must leave something very precious that we compete with intimacy. You have to leave it behind. The most difficult thing that we find difficult to do as Christians is the ability to leave behind what cannot follow us into intimacy with God. And can I say this to you? If God is going to rate your life, the first way God is going to rate your life is what you have been able to leave behind for him. Did somebody get that? There is no Christian journey, no intimacy with God. If you just want to go with God with what you want to carry along, this is where we cannot go into intimacy with God. As you are seated now, as I'm talking to you now, the major challenge is not what the devil is doing. It's what he has planted in you, that he has given to you to see as something so important that must compete with God, that cannot be left behind for God. If you are going to cross the line into intimacy with God, you must be able to say, I have been able to leave this behind. If you are journeying with God and you have no testimony of some great things that you have left behind for God, for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of growing intimacy with him, excuse me, God will not reckon you as somebody who is intimate with him. You cannot even step in there. In my little time of walking with God, I have realized that the most easiest temptation in the hand of the devil is to give a believer something that he cannot leave behind in order to gain the Lord. So let's look very quickly into this matter of leaving something behind to press into intimacy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. I hope you are understanding what I'm sharing with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Now, I want you to begin to see something from verse 14. Are you there? He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because intimacy is a yoke. It's yoking. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Wherever you see intimacy, there is fellowship. What communion has light with darkness? Wherever you see intimacy, there is communion. So you see terms of intimacy, language of intimacy, yoking. When you say something is yoked, when something is yoked, when an animal is yoked with another animal, it means that where that animal, maybe the bigger animal that has carried the other animal yoked together with him is going, is where they go together. So yoke, the power of yoke, please take note of that. Because tonight, I want you to pray. If leaving behind, if just what I can deal with tonight, that's okay. Tonight, I want you to break any contrary thing that has yoked you together. The reason it looks like our Christian life has become very formal. We have become official Christians who are not in connection with God is because we are not in yoke with him. Don't forget in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was saying that come unto me. Matthew 11, 28. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then when you see further, he was now saying, take my yoke upon you and then learn of me. So, coming to Jesus, it is not just coming, without being yoked together with him. Your relationship with Jesus begins to make meaning when you are yoked. Not when Jesus is going in a direction and you are going in another. Please, are you together with me? You know, we have a relationship today that we call a relationship where somebody you are in a relationship with is going in this direction and you are going in that direction. Is that a relationship? No. When I go out to witness to people in soul winning, I normally use this dimension to speak to them. Because men, what we have left people with today is that just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And you don't make people to know what it means to be loved. What does it mean for somebody to be loved? It means it becomes the owner. So if I'm the owner of your life and I say I need your time, and you say no, I have my time. Am I the owner? You are not answering me. If you say, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord, you know it is easier said. And I say, okay, this is the direction I want you to go. My son, now that I'm your Lord, go to Ibadan. And you say, no, I'm not going. Even though you are my Lord, where I want to go is Lokoja. So when you talk about lordship, you talk about ownership. So the question is that, is Jesus the Lord? Now what makes him the Lord is that when you receive him and it becomes the Lord, you are yoked. You take his yoke upon you. Where he asks you to sit, that is where you sit. That means when Jesus is pulling in this direction, you are not pulling in the opposite direction. You go where he goes. You follow his will. You follow his footsteps. And that's why when I go out to witness to people, I tell them that, see, just making people to come to you to say, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior is not enough when you are not entering into discipleship. Do you know that Jesus did not send people to go and just preach to others and say, accept me? No. He said, go and make disciples. I'm not digressing. I'm giving you what is important. So when he says, go and make disciples, who are disciples? When you have a disciple is somebody that want to be like you. A disciple is somebody who wants to follow in your footsteps. You can't see a master and a disciple. A master is going right. A disciple is going left. Discipleship is not taking place. This is where I'm going. There are things in our lives that we are yoked with because we have not been in yoke with the Lord. So when the Lord, it's not that you don't have a relationship. It's not that you are not born again. But there is a yoke on your life. When that thing is pulling you, you'll be telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. But the pull of that thing, because you are yoked together. So intimacy has to do with what you are yoked with. What you are yoked with. And number two, it has to do with fellowship. What you try to spend time with. And number three, there we are seeing communion. He said, what communion has light with darkness? Communion. Communion. Now go further. He said, what agreement has Christ with Belial? So we see yoke. What do we see again? Fellowship. What do we see again? Communion. What do we see again? Agreement. Please, if you forget anything, don't expect me to just give you everything. Take what the Lord is doing. How do I know I am in intimacy with the Lord? These things are important. Yoke, fellowship, communion, and agreement. When you are not seeing this in intimacy, you are not in intimacy with the Lord.
But that's not where I'm going. Verse 16.
He said, what agreement as the temple of God with idols? Do you hear me mention about idols at the beginning? What agreement? What agreement? And do you know in our time now, idol is no longer for us who has come to the Lord, that shrine where those deities are. Our deity now can be your phone, can become your idol. Your idol is what you so much prize. Your work, it can be your ministry. You love that thing so much, it has taken your heart. Your idol can even be your child. Your idol can be your spouse. When the Lord is calling you and the Lord is saying, this is how I want your life to go, this is what I want you to do, because of my wife, I can't do it. Because I don't know what will happen to my children, I don't want my children to suffer, I cannot do it. So every time you look at an idol, idol is something that at the end of the day you submit to. It takes your worship. So God said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now verse 17. Therefore, somebody is not following me. Do you see all that I've mentioned? Are you together with me? He was talking about things that shows intimacy. And what defines that intimacy now said, see, I will live in them. See, I will walk in them. This is God speaking about your life. When there is intimacy between you and God, it is going to be evident that God is living in you. It is going to be evident that God is walking in you. He's walking. He's walking. And it's going to be evident that God is your God. Excuse me. When these things are happening to you, are all your prayers not answered? You are not answering. Maybe I should close it. The way you are doing is as if I'm not taking you along. You know, sometimes you teach about what the Lord wants you to do. You just have to teach. I have to talk to you about what the Lord is saying, and I cannot talk to you what I can. I can't begin to take you into a dimension the Lord is not speaking about at this very time for us. So whether you like it or not, you have to open your heart and say, Lord, give me understanding of what you are saying. Intimacy is revealed between you and the Lord when he lives in you, when he's walking in you, when he becomes your God. Many a times you have prayed, Lord, let it be known that you are my God. And God wants to answer that prayer. Lord, show my enemies that you are my God. And God is saying, see, that is my plan. I want to show that. And do you know what I'm doing now? I am helping us with what makes that to come without you laboring so much. Lord, walk in me. Operate in me. When you are in intimacy with him, you see it is his desire to walk in you, to live in you, to manifest himself in you. So he said, when intimacy comes, when we are together, this is what will happen. But if it is going to happen, anywhere you hear, therefore, there means there is something I have said before. That for this that I'm saying to happen, you have to do this. So for intimacy to happen, and for God to reveal himself through our lives, for you to operate in a dimension that you desire, and God desires more. He now said, therefore. Go back to therefore. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He now said, therefore, come out from among them. Come out. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will, what will I do? I will receive you. The reason many of our prayers are not answered is because we have not fulfilled this condition. Are you listening to me? Therefore, come out from among them. Now, while you put your rope inside that scripture, we are coming back there. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Everything God will do with me, he will first call me to intimacy. And when he calls me to intimacy, he will tell me to leave certain things behind. Now, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your family, and your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. This was a man that God had come to invite. I hope you know it was not Abraham alone. Just as we were told during the first prayer, that when he invites you, it's not because you are qualified. Was Lot not there? Why did he not call Lot? Why did that statement not come to Lot? But he came to Abraham. God said to Abraham, come out. Go from your country, your family, your father's house to the land that I will show you. So when God is calling to intimacy, you cannot avoid leaving behind what God wants you to leave behind. And what are the things that the Lord calls us to leave behind? Number one, things that cannot flow with him. Things that are not in alignment with his nature. And when we are talking about these things, they may be people, they may be habits, they may be your lifestyle. There are things that yet you are saying, Lord, I want to be intimate with you. I just want to be intimate. And you know, without that intimacy, God can't go far with you. God can't go far without intimacy. So God will say, leave. Come out. He was saying to Abraham, where you are is not a place where I can draw so close to you. When you check the book of Genesis, you realize that this Genesis chapter 12 was the first point where the discussion of God with Abraham began. So your journey with God will begin by first calling you to separation. So for as many of us that have things that we are clinging to, that we are staying with, we have not even stepped into a journey with God. Please, do you understand that now before we begin to pray? That's why I said to you, may the Holy Spirit give you understanding. You need to cry tonight. Whatever I'm in yoke with, whatever I'm in fellowship with, whatever I'm in agreement with, whatever I'm in communion with, the Lord you cannot flow with. Father, tonight, let there be a separation. So the first thing God was saying, there are things they cannot flow with me. But it was the love of God that sent for Abraham. Any other person, don't forget his own father. The father of Abraham began a journey. And he was going. There was something in him that was saying, see, you cannot remain here. There is a place beyond. There is a place higher. But this man got to a point. The Bible says he settled there. That was where he died. God wanted to continue. God did not call Lot. God called Abraham. And the word of God, first of all, is come out. I'm saying to you tonight, where are you trapped? What has actually trapped you that will become a trap for you not to enter into the intimacy God is calling you to in order for your destiny to become what God wants it to be? God is saying, come out. Do you know something? God did not bring Abraham out. God called Abraham out. Abraham stepped out. You are going to see it. So God said, come out. And do you know something? I have been, Lord, what are the things that have trapped me? What are the things? What are the things that I cannot come out of? What are the things that I cannot come out of that are not in alignment? Number two, when God asks you to come out, asks you to leave something behind, He's asking you to leave what you are used to. Intimacy has a lot to do with what you are used to. When you are used to a person, it is difficult to leave that person. When you are used to a lifestyle, it is difficult to leave that lifestyle. When you are used to a way of doing things, it is difficult to leave that way. But tonight, you have to cry for deliverance. Please let me tell you, it is not an easy thing to leave what you are used to. We don't get easily used to something, but it becomes very difficult to break free from what we are used to. And many of us are used to certain things that we anchor God from being able to draw us into a chamber of intimacy. What are you used to? Ask yourself, what am I used to? Do you know, as you are here, if you are, some of us have been coming, I was watching, you know, Mommy Dominion today. Now, as she's sitting down there, if you have been watching Pastor Inka, whenever Pastor Inka is in the house, in the meeting, where does he sit? Eh? He sits there. Unconsciously. That's like us. As Mommy Dominion is now, how many times have you seen Mommy Dominion here, sit in that place? I mean, Mommy Dominion Ojo, sit down in that place. How many times have you seen that? You don't. She's used to that place. So when Mommy Dominion entered into that place today, I said, well, I was trying to think, she has been in that place, maybe like I can count some 50 times. But this is where she's used to. See, what you are used to is the biggest enemy between you and God. Some people are used to a location. Some people are used to a relationship. Some people are used to a lifestyle. And see, when God is saying, I want to draw you, I want to make something outside, out of your life, what you are used to, he will say, leave that behind. Check your life as I'm closing. What are you used to? Do you know there's a scripture that says, a dog has returned back to its vomit. Do you know the challenge that God had with the children of Israel? All through his time with them, they have turned back. They have come back. For us who are at the covenant night, I think last week, if you remember, especially what we prayed about, that I said, don't pray the prayer of the children of Israel. When God brought them out of Egypt, what was their prayer? Take us back. So it's a great deliverance when the Lord can break you free from what you are used to.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength.